Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
How's it going, everybody? It's Charlie, the good brother Duke here. You know what's going on. Actually, this is our first WWE show. Yeah, actually, you don't know what's going on.
You've never listened to us talk about anything wrestling-wise before. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But so normally we do a podcast called Eat Sleep Elite, which just talks about AEW. Although we do mention WWE way more often than you would think.
Because we had a podcast covering WWE for about 5 years, give or take, with our good brother Brady, and then we kind of moved into AEW.
And let's be honest, all right. Something that probably needed to be said on ESE for a while is that, like, because they're basically trading talent back and forth more or less, not in we're partners, but like kind of. I mean, they don't really. No one seems to have gotten mad over talent switching sides, other than talent in the companies. So like.
And Cody is not.
Cody might
be
come
the
back to AEW. I would. Imagine how much more of a star he would be after. Like, imagine if every 5 years Cody just changes companies. That'd be crazy.
Yep, and that's something. We're gonna have some fun. So this is something we're gonna do more of this year. And these are our ESE mini episodes where we're gonna cover other pay per views. Right. Now, if we cover another WWE show, it's most likely going to be WrestleMania. But, like, we got Battle in the Valley coming up with New Japan next month that we're going to cover. And it's things like that, because get more minis
it's
out,
funny,
get more shows
actually,
out for you guys.
We both appreciate everyone checking it out. Most of Wrestle Kingdom this year. I mean, you watched all of it. I think I just missed a couple of matches that – or maybe I forget.
And definitely,
I
think the Ring of Honor
about
one
it. We mentioned it on the SE, I think, a little bit, like, oh, the Kenny won the championship and all that, but like, we didn't really, I think didn't we do something for Dominion 1 year? I think, I forget, but like, I want to say we talked about it and we just never got around to it, but we've always wanted to branch out and do other companies just because, like, the only reason we just did ESE is because that was just what was interesting to us at the time. Like, I got to be honest with everyone. When I heard CM Punk was coming back to wrestling, that was enough to get me to come back. You know, like
and that was what spawned our interest in doing another show together. And now here we are, more than two years later, still growing, just under two years.
But like, hey, sometimes you got to try new things.
So yeah, let's jump right into it then. So, well, obviously, we kicked us off with the actual Royal Rumble match. And right away, I thought getting Gunther out there first and getting Sheamus out there second, that was a good sign to me. Because apparently, now I didn't know this, but apparently 27 of the entrants were announced. Thankfully, I didn't know who they were, so everyone coming out was a surprise to me. But when I heard that after,
I started to wonder
what
the deal was with that segment that they showed footage from, where they had a bunch of people. Now they've done that before, where people get their numbers, right? They've done like the lottery balls before.
Yes.
And some people are revealed, right? You'll get like three or four, and that's fine. You can reveal most of the entrants. I don't care. It doesn't actually matter because they could also. I think one time they talked about people possibly trading numbers backstage before, and I'm like, I could see how somebody would pull that, because it's like, if you just get handed like a ball with a number on it or whatever, like an envelope, like, how could you?
Right, and that just, yeah, but, I like,
so,
that,
you
idea.
Know.
Who do we see get upset?
Yeah,
it was Drew McIntyre, right? He
so
got pretty
I
upset
see,
with
like,
his number.
Something like that working. So you don't have to make it these like hard and fast rules about how the entrance. Yeah, it's great when like 26 of the numbers are surprises, but like then you also kind of have to start really. You got to go to some of those legends, and that gets awkward. So, like, we saw a couple things that we'll talk about that were fine, but they could have been way worse, you know? It's like, you know, it's not like, since we talk about AEW so much, it's not like when Sting jumps off of everything and you're like, oh, yeah, that'll be fine, you know, because it's Sting. Like, but, you know, but like, you just don't want someone to get hurt or something like that, you know? But
it's nice to see that in Triple H's WWE, Gunther has been a star, and he was treated as it tonight. I believe he broke the Royal Rumble record
as the longest guy in the Rumble. Long-standing Rey Mysterio record.
Well-deserved, man. It's nice to see, you know, because I always thought, this is funny because this kind of covering the Royal Rumble is going to give us a chance to wax Rhapsodic.
Absolutely. About we don't get to talk about to them. We'll mention them when we can. But
Gunther, I mean, this was when he was announced there with Sheamus. I'm like, okay, I'm in. And then Miz, you know, then they do their thing with Kofi. Apparently, yeah, Kofi botched his thing again this year.
Maybe it's time to retire the Kofi spots then.
I think, when you lose it,
I think it's getting in his head. I mean, if he can overcome that, maybe that would be the greatest comeback story of all time for the next Royal Rumble, and then Kofi wins it or something. But unless you're going to pull some nonsense like that, I feel bad for Kofi, man, because that was one of my favorite parts of the Royal Rumble for years was watching Kofi do his nonsense. Like he agreed, did some crazy shit over the different Royal Rumbles that I've seen him in. And it sucks now that, like, if they ever show a montage of it, they have to cut out the last two, you know, like, but I don't want to rag on the guy too
much. And
then he's our still boy really here, fun.
Johnny, dude, our boy Johnny Wrestling with, a remix of the song.
I'm glad I haven't watched it.
I was like, yo, what the fuck was that? We've talked a lot about lately how Def Rebel has not put out some great music for WWE. That is, unfortunately, those days have I did not think there'd be another company putting out more consistent, like, better intro music than WWE because it was so good.
We review AEW, so it's super hit or miss over there. Like, it depends on the person, and oftentimes they nail it, but like sometimes they absolutely do not, and you're like, oh, that music was there for a week and it's gone. You know, I think they did that with Scorpio once. Like,
the perfect example, that garbage theme they dropped from Marina Shafir, they used it for like 3 months. Then they remix it, and I'm not kidding you. It's a fucking
literally
banger.
I think that's maybe what you need to do with some of the themes. Like, I'll give you another example. All right, we'll talk about this more when we get to the women's match. But Asuka's theme right now, I'm not really feeling that either. You know, like, she looked great, and she was still Asuka. Oh, I had nothing to do with any of that. Just the entrance, and I think could have been a little more intense.
I totally forgot.
Do what?
Before the match even starts.
Pat McAfee back on commentary. This is like the first time he's been back since I don't even know when. Like, it's been.
I felt like Pat McAfee, with the way he was giving commentary, was for a lot of people that maybe haven't kept up with the product.
I mean, because he's also probably been struggling to keep up with the doing, like, Dame Day and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
like,
I really want to know the backstory if Michael Cole knew he'd be there. He really played.
I mean, Michael Cole is so good at, like,
FaceTimed him today.
You would never know with Michael Cole. Like, people give Michael Cole a lot of shit, but, like, he's actually probably, like, one of the best commentators of all time, just because of how you never know where he's at with stuff. Like, I think for years people just thought that because of how much Vince was in his ear telling him literally exactly what to say word for word, like.
And now the guy's mentioning fucking PWG.
He always would have been
Japan
doing that. That's
like,
what that tells
like,
me. Is he would have always been doing that stuff, but he was just always kind of, hamstrung, you know, and he wasn't able to do that because he was being literally fed lines by somebody in his ear, which makes you appreciate what he does a little bit more. But like Pat McAfee, like I said, has probably not been able to follow it. I mean, I'm sure he followed it as much as he can, you know, but I'm sure he probably had to do like a little bit of a crash course on everything that's been going on, you know, like.
Exactly. So we'll kind of go through the match. We're not going to go beat for beat, but we'll touch on some stuff that I would be fun to touch on here. And so Xavier Woods comes out. Then we got Karrion Kross, and then Chad Gable. Chad Gable. I mean, I freaking love Chad Gable, dude. And he has this whole shoe shtick that I feel like is pretty funny. The crowd was all doing it with him. They're booing his ass. I used to joke around for years. I'd call him the future New Japan Junior Heavyweight Champion. Because, my God, an Olympic – dude, his gimmick could just be he's an Olympic athlete in the Junior Heavyweight Division. He would be so cool in the fucking Junior Heavyweight Division.
If they hadn't just, like, had Carl Anderson, like, literally fuck up the potential relationship between New Japan and WWE, I mean, that could have happened, you know? I mean
– He could have gone there. Drew McIntyre ninth. And Drew McIntyre, man, he just – he has this energy. He feels like a big star.
It's ever since that run up to Clash of the Castle, it's felt like he's had a different vibe to him because they finally unleashed him a little bit. That the run that he had, like when he was champion and stuff like that, obviously was obviously a big part of that. I don't think he'd be viewed the same way if they hadn't actually.
Yeah, and it was unfortunately handcuffed by.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone still bought into him as a big star, though, after that. As soon as the crowds came back, they were with him. But I mean, like, I think I do feel bad for him in that regard, because, like, him, you know, Shida when she was champion, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's various people that didn't really get to ever really live out that. Yeah, exactly.
Get their title reign in front of a live crowd.
But it doesn't really matter, because he's benefited from that ever since, because now he's, like, he was always treated like a top guy, but like he's like among like probably the top 3 to 5 guys in the company now, I would say. Like, so I mean, yeah, it's
he takes out Cross with a Claymore kick pretty quick. Cross has had a rough return.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
I don't know what to do with him.
Santos Escobar, who is someone I've been a very big fan of, and it, you know, him getting a nice entrance here, thought that was a nice little thing. He immediately went for Gargano. That immediately made me think that'd be a fun match. That'd be a couple of guys right there. Angelo Dawkins at 11th. And that's when we had the Gunther knocking out Woods and Kingston, and that all happened. Bork Laser at 12th.
Brock Winslow. Oh, wait.
Real quick, him and Gunther had a face-off, and the crowd went nuts. Does that make you think?
I mean, yeah, WrestleMania. If anybody would be the one to take the IC title off of him, I think it'd be Brock, probably, right?
That almost makes me think. Do you think he would put Gunther over?
Oh, I mean, yeah. I think if Brock isn't interested in winning the IC title, that would be the only reason why he would do the match, right? I can't see them not doing it for the title. So, yeah, that sounds like a really fun big meat man match for Mania. I mean, that feels like a match Brock's going to invest in too, and you might see like Brock chop him to death and him chopped
just
to death,
like
kind of like that could be on the level if they go there, that could be on the level of Dragunov versus when he was Walter, you know what I mean? Like, so I mean,
it could seriously that is so a WrestleMania type match.
I you know, hey,
and then we have Lashley hit the ring, who spears Lesnar, slams everyone in sight, and eliminates Lesnar before the next guy even comes out.
Yeah.
That was a good payoff for Lashley, because I still think Lashley should have beat Lesnar in the little feud they had, but that was good payoff for Lashley. I've been on record many times. I have always been a massive Bobby Lashley fan.
I was even a fan of Bobby Lashley when he took every belt in Impact. Like, that was great.
In Impact, that was such a cool... That was
people
cool
shit on
story
that storyline, but like him, it was really fun watching him beat everyone McIntyre to death, and then like because Impact needed it. Bro,
that
people,
was
people
that was
underrated
like
part
was
of Impact rebooting itself was that they just had Bobby win all the championships and then just disrespect all of them, so they had to reboot everything. It was great. It was one of the best reboots of a wrestling company I've ever seen. Like, because they just didn't care. They were like, you know, we got this really great guy. His name is Bobby, and he's going to be the champion. It was great. Like.
Corbin enters 14th. He gets beat up. Doesn't even get a chance. I think the only way to save Corbin is to team him up with fucking the FTR guys. If they, you know, if they go to WWE, he goes to AEW. Who knows? Apparently, they're really good friends in real life. But and you know what? You attach him to those guys, and
honestly, he could use. I mean, I'm not saying that Corbin's not like among the elite technical wrestlers, but I think having him with them for a little while could sharpen his game just all around. You know, like, so that'd be a good.
He must be just an awesome guy. Every wrestler loves him.
He also, but he always makes himself come off as like a dick and everything that's not like in character. So I don't know how to, is he actually like just like, is he the dick that everyone gets along with? You know what I mean? Like, or is he just actually just a good guy who just doesn't want to not be a sort of heel all the time? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Does he just live that gimmick? I don't know. I would need to meet the guy to know like what the deal is with him, because it's interesting, you know?
Yeah, it's something so cool. I wonder if Dax will be able to get him on that podcast.
I don't know. That's one of those ones that I was like, William Regal would have been the guy that you would have thought been able to get like anybody. You know what I mean? But then it didn't seem like that's the way that they went with it.
Yeah.
That podcast is gone. So,
so Seth Rollins at 15.
And Becky both came out at 15. That's totally not on purpose.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Otis at 16. Ray's music hits at 17, but he doesn't enter. And this is where Rollins takes out Lashley, which I think is they've been feuding this past year. It picked up on him with Austin Theory, so maybe WrestleMania. We'll see about that. Again, I can buy into Rollins Lesnar or Rollins Lashley. I don't need Rollins.
I'd take it at WrestleMania.
Dominic Mysterio at 18th enters wearing Rey's mask, and I'm not kidding you. I've been keeping up on the stuff that this guy's been doing, whether it's jumping Ray on Thanksgiving at his own house, showing up at Christmas with mommy Rhea Ripley. I mean,
this man is a menace.
Him going to prison and then 2 weeks later being this hard motherfucker is such a great storyline. And you can tell the crowd cares more about him now too, because he was getting dogged on like really hard probably about 18 months ago. Like, people were saying this guy doesn't deserve to be here. He should be in NXT at the least, like, cause he's not keeping up with people on the main roster. So what do? Let's stick him with Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, who also looks like a million bucks, and Finn Balor, our boy. We're always going to love Finn Balor here.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've always been a fan of, I remember the reason why I became a fan of Finn was actually because, like, it was when WWE made that acquisition of like four guys from New Japan. That was like the, you know, Anderson, Gallows, Shinsuke, and AJ at the same time. And guy that was, I was told to associate them with was Finn, because I'd seen a little bit of Finn in NXT, and I was like, oh, the guy that paints himself, he's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool.
I've always been a fan of Finn, though. Do you remember how excited and disappointed we were when, because I think we had a podcast that when he won the title, did we not? I want to say we did, like, and we were like,
oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Our podcast was still going when he won it in NXT.
Was it really? Oh, yes, no, I mean, when he won, like, the Universal title, like, the first one. I think we had a show then.
Yeah, and then when he went back to NXT, like, absolutely, a year later.
God, I forgot. Finn's done so much stuff. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, it was, dude, with Adam Cole. Oh, my God. That was so good. And Johnny was in there. Speaking of Johnny, he eliminates Johnny right away. Elias also entered during there. And then Booker T, dude. We've mentioned Booker T a lot lately because he owns that wrestling, like, he's associated with that Texas wrestling, and, you know, guys like Bounty Hunter Keith, who's really been showing up lately. Roxanne Perez, we covered her a lot when she
Booker
was
T, I mean, AKA AEW, Hot WWE, Take were essentially.
God, he's all over the place. But I got to tell you, it was kind of fun seeing him in the ring, and he hit the spinneroonie.
I felt so bad that he couldn't hit a full spinneroonie, but I mean, he probably knew.
Is this kind of what you were alluding to earlier, where he got in, yes, did his little thing, and got out? There's no embarrassment
really
here.
It seemed like, based on when he did the spinaroonie, like, it could have gone badly. But like, he managed to get in and get out quickly enough. Like, yeah, I mean, I went because he didn't look like he was moving well when he was trying to hit the leg lariat and stuff like that. But you know, it was better than I would have expected if you told me Booker T was going to wrestle.
This was a genuine surprise.
Booker T is one of those guys that has done this a few times. And like, most of the time he's done it, he's looked great. I think this is like the worst I've ever seen him. So, I mean, you know, and that's not even saying anything, because he looked fine. And like I said, he didn't. This kind of shit used to be my biggest gripe with the Rumble, was that they would bring back old people that could not actually do anything. And it was just a waste of time, you know, like. And yeah, so I'm as long as we're not wasting time, like, he was literally like, I put it in my notes, it's like only like 30 seconds or something like that he was in there for, but it worked. I mean, I'm sure everybody in the crowd like had a nice time, you know, hearing that music. I certainly popped when it came on. So.
And it is the reality of wrestling is the one in Texas that he does own.
Yes.
He is the owner. So
he's trained in a new group of wrestlers. I think.
Oh yeah, I'm looking through the roster right now, and I feel like I've seen
every now and then we'll get
these guys
one,
on Dark,
but the one they'll mention association.
But that Brian Keith Bounty Hunter, he that is absolutely a star right there. He will be in AEW or WWE soon enough. Damian Priest, Montez Ford, who looked jacked. Holy shit, he looked great. He wasn't in there long either. Edge at 24. Spears, everyone on the Judgment Day, gets eliminated by Priest and Balor. That was kind of cool. A-Town Down, so Austin Theory, you know, we joked on our show about his cash-in. That was
he cashed in on the
U.S. title. And but after Austin Theory, Edge gets attacked by Balor and Priest outside the ring as Theory entered. And then Rhea shows up. She attacks Edge from behind. Beth Phoenix appeared behind her, and the crowd is going nuts. She spears Ripley. This is a fun little thing here.
I mean, it was a good payoff.
That was
if you haven't been watching WWE since that happened, then this was like, oh, it's like I just picked right up where I left off. Great.
Yeah. And at this point, let me just say this. The pace of the fucking Rumble is off the charts. I thought it was flying in a good way.
You know, something I actually thought I would point out here. So I felt that there were times in both matches where it felt like they had to rush to get some people out. I don't know if somebody like missed an elimination spot in either match or something, like, but it did feel like it was rushed at a few
points. It is possible.
Now, I'm not saying that was a, like, it hurt either match that much. I think if it did hurt either match, it would have been the women's match that hurt more, because there was like a fucking rush to get like five people out of the ring at one point in the women's match, and none of them really got enough, you know, but it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's, these matches aren't meant to be like
exactly,
you know, and technical masterpieces.
And I think for the men's, it was so we could have our like 11, 12 minutes at the end of
which
an actual
I
match.
I'm super excited to talk about, because that's something I've been asking for any of these like matches with eliminations over the course of a period of time. Like, it doesn't have to be a Royal Rumble match to be a finish like this. You could do this at like Survivor Series if that was still a thing. You know what I mean? Like, and just have it lead up to a match.
So, and then we had Omos at 26, followed by Strowman, Ricochet at 28. Again, none of these really felt too important. We're kind of waiting to see, like, all right, when's I kept, I don't know about you, I kept being like, is Cody seriously at
30? I was thinking that a little.
Logan Paul?
It doesn't feel like as much of a win for him that he came out literally last and won the thing. Like, I mean, okay. He beat a guy that was in there for over an
Logan
hour
Paul.
And 10 minutes, like, or something like that. Like,
I know that she kind of should have done the roles reverse there, but maybe they just
didn't
want to
throw
him out for
that long. I mean, if they do
that
with Cody, then, like, they have to threaten that Cody is going to be like, with Gunther, you can, I'm never going to get used to that. With Gunther, you can get away with that because he's like a big man. You know what I mean? You can pull that trick. I'm not saying that Cody couldn't also make it convincing. I'm just saying it makes more sense in a wrestling fan's head.
Dude, oh my God. Danielson's last Rumble was so good. It was something, it was like that. He came out early.
And you can do that with
time.
A guy like Dan.
He had
I
the ground beef
that
chest from hell.
Returning Cody. I think in the 20s, maybe in the 10s, it would have made more sense, but I mean, 30.
I felt like 26.
26,
would have been
that's actually honestly where I felt he was going to cut. 26, or when 26 came out and it wasn't him, it was almost or whatever. I thought, okay, then he'll be one of the next ones, and maybe he'll eliminate almost, and that would be a big return spot for him. But it didn't go that way.
Yeah, at this point, Gunther then takes out both Sheamus and McIntyre by himself. That's fucking insane. Logan Paul gets. At the 29 treatment, so that was the last, quote, surprise. I honestly thought he would have been in the match, but that's okay. He hit Ricochet with a buckshot lariat, and he also had a really cool spot with Ricochet where they like, eyed each other up, stood at the opposite sides of the ring, and fucking did a springboard and collided in midair. That was a pretty fun spot. Cody enters at 30. I mean, the fireworks, the big... It's a Cody Rhodes fucking entrance in the Rumble. Of course it is.
Well, he's also the
Cody.
Last one to come
you know,
out. It's not like he has
he
to
does.
Worry about anybody. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. But, you know, give it to Cody to get the big smoke show. It's like, this is who he is, man. And this is what we love about him. And
Cody
so,
is the epitome of that
speaking
CM
of Cody.
Punk style of... Nah, he didn't come up on the indies, but of embracing that artistic style. Like Kenny Omega and him were probably tight because of this, I'd imagine. At least at one point, because...
Oh my God, yeah.
Because they're all about the show and making it like a memorable experience for somebody, so...
Well put. He hits Theory with a springboard cutter. Then he chucks that weight into the belt. I love that he is the American Nightmare character still. They didn't change a fucking thing. And it's so cool because I think that's not going to... We've seen this before where they don't really change things from people. And it's nice going back and forth like we were talking about earlier with the two major companies.
I think if you had done Cody any other way when he came back at WrestleMania, I don't think it would have worked. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it would have been received
either.
Well
it's just
because
like MJF.
People,
I think if MJF eventually jumps,
I think there
would
have been a lot of WWE fans that would have just viewed it as a win because they stole somebody from AEW, which is not what it ultimately ended up being. And I'm glad that a lot. I mean, I don't want Cody to ever be injured, but it's kind of like cosmic karma that they all acted like so smug about Cody coming back to WWE, and then all of a sudden they didn't have him anymore. You know, so it felt like when we. It felt like when we were in the lead up to Forbidden Door, and there was a lot of bitterness on the other side, and then all of a sudden all the injuries started coming in, and that flipped. You know what I mean? So,
So we kind of get down our final four. We had Rhodes, Theory, Gunther, and Rollins. I mean, obviously Rollins and Rhodes were your. They had to get those the face off there. That was the money shot. Cole eventually.
Do you think they're going to have another match, by the way, like before the WrestleMania?
I do, but I don't think before Roman.
You think maybe after?
I think maybe when Cody is defending his world title, hopefully he can put it against Rollins at one of those shows, and that could be.
I feel like
It'll
they were teasing
time.
That up a little bit. I'm not saying that doesn't mean this couldn't come back later, but I mean, you know,
So Logan Paul sneaks back in the ring, gets rid of Rollins. Paul bragged about it until Rhodes hit him with a crossroads and eliminated him. Cody Rhodes and Gunther as your final two. And this was awesome, man. They started exchanging some really good chops. Rhodes went to the top, but Gunther brought him down with a superplex. Again, we're not really used to this in the Rumble, so that was a really nice touch.
It was wild. It felt like we got like 10 more minutes of wrestling after they started to be the last. I know we probably didn't, but like it's what it felt like. It felt like we had like a full last match. Like.
Exactly. That's what it felt like. It slowed down the match perfectly, and you're like, oh my God, all right, two left. There were some people thinking maybe Rey Mysterio was showing up. Like, no, I think they sold the Rey thing pretty well.
Show up in the match. I mean, it was a little weird that they flashed his name and.
See, I think they're setting up a Dominic Rey.
That would have been the way you set him up. Have him eliminate Dominic. It felt weird that there was nobody in the match that should eliminate Dominic. You know what I mean? Like, maybe Edge. Yeah, maybe Edge.
That is fair.
I feel like Edge will let Rey Mysterio handle his own business. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Oh,
it was weird hearing Rey Mysterio's music hit and then never seeing him. I will say that.
Never seeing him. That was a weird touch. So Cody's on the apron. He's getting choked out. He gets out of it. He tried something off the top rope. Gunther hits him with a chop on the way down. He came back with a crossroads and clotheslined Gunther out of the ring. Cody Rhodes is the 2023 Men's Royal Rumble winner. And there was some massive fireworks. This was awesome. But there was a name noticeably missing. And that was Sami Zayn, who was actually the number two guy that people thought might actually have a shot at winning.
I'm going to tell you why I think that was the right decision. I initially questioned this. I asked you about this. Like we were, for those of you that don't know, when we watch these shows, we tend to text back and forth. We're both watching them live. And, I remember texting you this like right after the match. And I was like, I started thinking about it and I was going to send you a message about what immediately came to mind. And that's what I'm about to tell you now, because I saved it. I was like, okay, I'm gonna save this for the show. I think the reason why that match worked so well and why Cody didn't get booed out of the building is because they didn't even tease Sammy winning. Once people had bought in that they knew that Sammy's not in this match, once 29 hit and you're like, they're not gonna not have Cody. We already know he's in the match, so we know he's coming. And if you knew all 27 other entrants that were, or 26, I guess in that case, that were announced, then you knew there was only a couple of surprises that you were actually going to get. So the fact that we didn't get Sammy told people that that was not the direction they were going, and that allowed them to except that they had to. By the time we got to Cody winning, there was no reason for them to boo because everyone wants to support Cody as well. Like, I, you know, we're not holding it against
that
Cody.
Is absolutely. Yep. Because you know what? They've learned from their past with that. Remember, it was Danielson and the Triple H Rumble and the one where AJ Styles debuted. Everyone wanted Danielson. And when you knock him out that quick, I think I'm mixing it up. It was the next one. But either way, everyone wanted Danielson to win this thing. They knocked him out quick, and then it was a winner they didn't want.
It was the year Batista won, which I think was 2014.
Yeah, so, and then now, you know, this is, yeah, it puts you in a weird spot. So here we go. Let's do the glow-in-the-dark mini-golf match here. Bray Wyatt and LA
Where the fuck
LA
was
Knight?
Naomi? Really this cool should have been Knight. Naomi's return right here, dude.
They should do her matches.
Dude, if Naomi's gimmick was this is the kind of matches she has, I might actually be into that. I mean, she's good anyway.
That would be pretty
like,
cool.
That would be just fun. Like, holy shit.
So, I mean, here's the thing. This was a Mountain Dew pitch black thing, right? Bray's face paint was fucking
awesome.
Yeah,
his body paint was cool, really actually. Cool. I liked that he decided, like, well, we're going to do this glow-in-the-dark shit, so I'm just going to get some cool body paint, you know, so that my tattoos aren't completely hidden.
And, you know, they must have pitched a lot of shit here. I mean, you had guys going through a table and neon green shit flying everywhere. And, yeah, this was really quick. 5 minutes. Wyatt wins with the Sister Abigail. After the match, Wyatt's got a horror mask on. He's stalking Knight. And he's no-selling kendo sticks. Uncle Howdy appeared from above on some staging structure. Howdy gave Knight a diving elbow off the stage. And you could tell from the camera angle they used that he like missed
him
by
that was probably
a good couple feet.
I mean, if he had hit him from that high, he probably killed him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And then Firefly Funhouse members
so
are
what,
appearing on
do
the structure.
Do we have any theories about who Uncle Howdy actually is? Like,
From what I've picked up on, and people think it's Bo Dallas.
I mean, I would like it to be Bo Dallas because...
And that's his real life brother. And in this song, in Bray's song, it talks about his brother. So it makes sense.
I hope it's Bo Dallas. If that's it could Bo, be if Bo Dallas took that spot, I mean, that'd be glorious for his career.
I'd love myself some Bo Dallas. So
I think that's actually one of my favorite old school NXT title reigns is Bo Dallas, is weirdly.
Absolutely. It was nice to see LA Knight in this spot. And then this next match, I'm literally going to cover it in one line. You ready for this? So Bianca Belair defeats Alexa Bliss to retain the Raw Women's Championship. This was just an ordinary match, and she won it with the KOD.
Yawn.
I don't think I missed anything.
The only thing you missed was mentioning I'm how not kidding desperately, you. Desperately Alexa Bliss needs to be rebooted.
And I think they've done that like three times. If you want to watch a women's match, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
No, genuinely. I don't care. If you genuinely...
Tomorrow on Eat Sleep Elite, when we're talking about AEW Dark's Britt Baker versus Billy Starks, that was 1,000 times better than the Raw Women's Championship on the fucking Royal Rumble. What the fuck was this? Yeah,
it was bad. It was bad. I mean, it wasn't bad. They just didn't – no one gave a shit about this match, and neither did I think either person in it. I think this was just like –
this was a house show match.
I think literally. I wish I had looked at the build for this one because it didn't look like they did much for it. And that might have been the problem. Like, there just wasn't a build. And Alexis.
It was some supernatural shit, man. I'm only going to say this one time, and it's for this. This is the reason I don't miss covering this shit weekly. And I'm going to say that now. I'm just.
When we're reviewing WWAEW. Which is not how you would pronounce that.
I know, when Tony Khan's tweeting about, thank you, Alexa Bliss, for your...
future endeavored by Tony Khan, you know?
No! Fucking good. Leave her alone!
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
So, I love Bianca Belair, so cool.
I like Alexa Bliss, too. That's why I wanted to get rebooted, because she's actually, like, one of the few women that were, like, just thrown into the spotlight when they tried to actually suddenly give a shit about women back in, like, 2016. Like,
She was so good on the fucking SmackDown Live.
She was one of the best parts of it, and I think she's, like, a six or seven time women's champion. Like, she's a legit, like, all-timer of the women's division. And she's just stuck in this vortex of just nothingness right now.
Literally. All right, so the women's rumble.
Talk about a vortex of nothing. No,
she was... Rhea Ripley's first. She's selling the spear she took from Beth. Liv Morgan's out second. I was like, okay, cool. And then, you know... Dana Brooke, Emma. I didn't realize Emma was with WWE. That was actually a little bit of a shock to me. And then I was like, oh, wait. That happened twice in this match.
Yeah, there was a couple. Yeah.
I just don't know why. Emma, but I don't – I see when people tweet about SmackDown and stuff and Raw, and no one ever talks about her. So I was like, maybe she's NXT. No, she's on the roster. Whatever. I guess I just missed
it. I think there's a lot of people that they've brought back recently that just haven't been using much. That's my guess. I would have to think. And this was the opportunity they used to spring some of them because, that's fair. You know – it was obviously people joke about the 873 people on the AEW roster, but there's actually that many people on the WWE roster too. They just do cuts every now and then,
Yeah, exactly. So, fifth is Shayna Baszler. Sixth is Bayley. Morgan and Bayley kind of went at each other immediately. B-Fab enters at 7.
Why does everyone shit on B-Fab? I thought she was fine.
Yeah, she was in there for 36 seconds. It's because people don't like Hit Row without Swerve. So I think all the members kind of get down, unfortunately.
All right.
Yeah. NXT Women's Champion Roxanne Perez at 8. Holy shit, did she look good. Roxanne Perez is a fucking star. And I like that they mentioned, she went to the Booker T Wrestling. So that was a nice touch. I already forgot the name.
Reality of Wrestling.
There we go. Dakota Kai at 9, Io Sky at 10. This is a nice trio we just got here, huh? I love seeing Io. All of Damage Control is now in.
By the way, that moment when Io gets in, it's kind of when the match started to shift into the story that they were going to tell, which is the Damage Control kind of working like a unit and systematically eliminating everybody else from the ring, which they actually did in a really cool way, which I'm sure we'll get into across the course of the match.
Yeah, it was. Natalya at 11. I always like Natalya. Candice LeRae at 12. She goes after Damage Control, but Baszler catches her with a knee strike. Natalya and Baszler had a really cool face-off, but the crowd didn't care. They tried to eliminate each other, so Damage Control eliminated them both. Okay. Zoe Stark came out at 13, former tag team champion in NXT with Io Shirai. Cole asks, he asks Graves, he's like, if she won a big battle royale recently, and Graves responded, I believe she has.
Okay, I guess.
Okay. Not like they pinned an entire show around that battle royale and she was the big winner. Zoe Stark is very good. I like they're getting the spot. Clearly, if when they tagged her with Io, I thought it was a fun little team. And I actually was very impressed by her. She reminded me of when Ruby came into NXT and was there for 3 months and kind of took over. Zoe was doing the same thing, and then she got a big injury. So now she's back in NXT, just kind of doing her thing. But, yeah, I think Shawn Michaels, Triple H, they all like her there. Xia Li at 14. It's nice to see Xia Li again. And LeRae is, at this point, still fighting off damage control, but gets eliminated by Sky. So, you know, is Candice LeRae and damage control? I mean, how do you feel about all that kind of going on there?
Candice can get a good match out of anybody, and all three of those women are really good wrestlers. So, you know, I'll take that anytime.
Becky Lynch at 15, and they're, like you said, the subtle nod to Rollins at 15 earlier. She goes after damage control. They beat her up outside the ring. They laid her out as a crowd booed. Yeah, Lynch got toasted by damage control fast. There's a story there. Lynch is still like one of the top dogs.
I think the weird thing is like damage control gets treated like they're the three top people in the company on the women's side, but they're really not. They're not like treated that way. Like, I don't know if it's that Bayley needed to have like a championship reign at some point when they were first getting hot or something. It's not like they've gotten cold. They're still, I think, probably the hottest women's act in WWE, right?
Yeah, and I think there's still women's tag champs on the main.
Well, I just mean with her. I think maybe there's some spice missing or something. I don't know. Like she's just
I could see that
top level. She's just right below it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe after Bianca's held the title for a little bit longer, that's who takes it off of her. I don't know.
Yeah, Tegan Nox at 16. Asuka at 17 to a big reaction with some new music. And she's wearing a version of her Kana face paint. So people were predicting maybe Dark Asuka would happen. And it does. She immediately eliminates Nox. Welcome back to the company. Piper Niven no longer, as she enters at 18, no longer with that horrible name of Dewdrop. That was literally one of the worst names I've ever seen, and it was so unfortunate. She can actually go. So Tamina at 19, she gets a face off with them. That was pretty cool. Chelsea Green at 20, this is a debut. This was a return.
Yeah, because she was at like the performance center forever, wasn't she? Like,
yep, she was all over the place. I believe she was even on SmackDown for a week before she broke her wrist, and then most recently, she was in Impact, and now she's back in WWE, which a lot of people think Zack Ryder is going to be on his way back, too.
Woo.
This is only a further indication.
You know it.
Zelina Vega wearing a new Street Fighter VI game gear. She's in the game.
Yeah, she's a commentator. That's pretty cool. I mean, she's obviously been involved with the Up Up Down Down shit for a while. You know, always love to see her over there. You know, we're big fans of video games as well on our pods. I might play video games for a living, kind of, you know.
Right? It's like
I might check out Street Fighter. I've been up and down. I'm more of a Mortal Kombat guy myself in terms of fighting games, but like I've played various Street Fighter games over the years. I suck at them. That's why I don't really play them, but I might give it a show. You, I might at least check out some footage of it, see what's like.
I know Kenneth is a fan.
Kenneth does Street Fighter cosplay like every three matches, it feels like. You know, not really, but didn't they do one for like an AEW pay-per-view once where the three of them out as Street Fighter characters? Yeah, so, you know, you won't get any complaints from me. The gear looked fucking incredible, too. Like
Raquel Rodriguez at 22 to a pretty good reaction. Mia Yim at 23. Her graphic read Mia Yim Meechan. There's been a lot of dispute of what her name is. I think when she returned, she was called Meechan, but everyone's like, that is fucking awful. So they've just started calling her Mia Yim Meechan.
Dude, how about the zero fucking reaction for her coming out?
That was so unfortunate.
The crowd was dead for her. I think so fucking good. Do you remember the fucking series of matches that her and Io had when Io was women's champion and a heel? Oh my God.
It was incredible. She is so talented.
And it just gets wasted on the main. I don't know what it is about main roster that just doesn't get me. Yeah, whatever. Maybe we need Keith Lee to go in and yeet some dudes around the office.
Bearcat. Lacey Evans at 24. Michelle McCool at 25 in a pretty neat spot.
How have they never done this? I'm shocked that nobody has ever had this idea before, right? Like, I mean, maybe they just thought
she was showing
one of those things that Vince just didn't want because he didn't want people to think they got off the rails or something. I don't know. Like,
she acts surprised. She leaves the front row. She enters.
Imagine if they didn't even decide. Imagine if they said, "Hey, we might have you come out, just sit in the crowd and have like somewhat ready ring gear on, and just be ready to like go if we need." I would, dude. If that was actually how they did it, that'd be cool. I'm sure they planned out ahead of time, but like that, the idea that that is actually what happened, I just love that that's a wrestling history moment now, that someone was just sitting at ringside and oh, and now you're in the Rumble. It's like, oh shit, okay, all right.
Yeah. It's like, dude, oh man, you know, this makes me think we missed a lot of people tonight that weren't here. Like, where's Bronson Reed? He just returned to this company. He just beat fucking Okada and he's not in this. And then where's Carl Anderson? Speaking of Carl Anderson.
I mean, Gallows. They had all the meat men. Where's Gallows? You know what I mean? Like,
Indy Hartwell enters 26. I always liked her. Sonya Deville, 27. Shotzi, 28. Nikki Cross, 29 with the galactic sprint to the ring.
And then, how the fuck does she not blow up doing that? What the fuck?
I know, right? So Nia Jax at 30.
Yeah, I didn't need to see that.
Wow, this was a misread.
I mean, is there anybody more hated in women's wrestling besides the chick that broke Rosemary's arm?
She talks so much shit about WWE, too.
I mean, the only person who I think is more hated is the chick that broke Rosemary's arm. I'm not even kidding. Like, you know, like,
this was weird, man. I don't know. I saw a lot of, like, a lot of people were not happy about this.
I imagine there were probably people backstage that weren't happy about it.
Yeah, because she talked about a lot of shit.
Okay,
man.
I'm going to throw this one. How do you think Charlotte felt backstage? They got into an actual fucking fight in a match once, didn't they? Like,
so this was
Charlotte to AEW confirmed.
It's confirmed. Come with Andrade. They treated her like a massive star. I don't know, man.
Did not hit for me. It was a rough ending to this match.
It didn't hit
for me. The
match
actually flowed kind of nicely, like toward the end. Like, it started to pick up a pace, and I was like, okay, I'm with this. I wasn't as with it as with the men's. I don't know what it was. Maybe there was just something missing. I don't know, but I this killed that match for me. Like,
yeah, and thankfully, once we get to the final three here, so. Our final Morgan eliminates Cross. The final three are Asuka, Morgan, and Ripley. So Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan from 1 to 2 are still here with Asuka. Asuka tried to blow her mist at Ripley on the apron. Ripley ducked. Morgan was blinded. Ripley then takes out Asuka, and then Morgan and Ripley are the last two. She can't see. She almost eliminates Ripley, but Ripley like puts her fucking legs on her shoulders and fucking
so she was hanging
down,
like barely. She had her legs completely like in a way where she couldn't recover really, unless she gave herself up to like being hit basically. I mean, I guess obviously she pulled herself back up, but I'm saying like it was in the moment, you would panic is the kind of thing. You know what I mean? So she's panicking, but then she just hit the T Harris, which I mean, the core strength that would require alone is to pull your legs up like completely. I'm sure she leaned down, but goddamn, you know what I mean? Like,
she is so fucking good, man. And well-deserved winner here. This was – I loved our winners. Cody Rhodes and Rhea Ripley. Those are fantastic Royal Rumble winners.
Yeah, I can't complain about who won. And you know, just the contents within some of them were just like
– It's like, huh. Who were our winners last year? Let's see. We had Brock Lesnar win the men's and Ronda Rousey win the women's.
So needless Brock Lesnar and female Brock Lesnar won the Rumble.
And now having a Triple H here, and you could tell. It's a little different there. No Ronda, no Brock. So, okay, let's get into this main event real quick, huh? Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens for the WWE Undisputed Championship. What I'll say is this was really all about the post-match angle. The whole match was kind of just a slower, brutal match. Setting up the payoff of what's kind of been it's kind of been the talk of the wrestling town. I mean, for a while, is the Sami Zayn bloodline angle. I mean, I can't go on any social media without seeing clips from this fucking thing. And every time I look at it, I've seen the developments with Jay, with Sami, you know, and I guess this week the video package before this was really good too. We won't talk about the concert.
Yeah, so no, not that. But I tuned out during that.
But yeah, so the match itself, I don't think was anything like unbelievably spectacular. I thought Kevin Owens, you know, took a beating and he took it well because that's what he does. He knows how to fucking sell for someone. The spot on the stairs was pretty nuts, dude. And then the spear through the barricade was pretty nice, but long story short, Kevin Owens, the ref got bumped. That was Kevin Owens' chance to win, and then after that, it was all downhill. He smacks Reigns. Reigns immediately spears him, and the pinfall win happens. Yeah. This was a good match, but it was nothing special.
Honestly, I would make the argument that if there had been commentary on this match, that it would have been kind of – it wouldn't have been as good. Because they were like they were adding bits, like using shots of Sammy's face and his reactions, and the match itself was really slow paced, on purpose. And I was a little shocked at how early that we just didn't get any response in terms of offense from KO, because you know, he's been treated like a world champion before, where he couldn't be beaten. So like it's weird to see him just get beat down by Roman. But I mean, obviously, that was.
And my God, does Roman feel like the fucking megastar that he is? The whole entrance, the video, like, I remember we were talking kind of during the video package, like, dude, the way he delivers those lines, man, it's just. He has fully embraced this gimmick, and it's worked out well for him. And I'm glad, because he had some rough years when they were pushing him as the top guy and no one really wanted it. You know?
You know what the weird thing about that is? I almost want to amend how I felt about that back then. It's not that I didn't want Roman to be the top guy. I think I just wasn't ready for Roman. I think everybody wanted Roman to be the top guy too. They just would have rather it been organic, you know? Like,
yep, that's the best way to put it. They wanted it to be organic, and it just was not. So here we go. After the match, Reigns is attacking Owens. The Usos are giving him. They gave him the 1D. Reigns put his arm around Zayn. The Usos put a chair over Owens' head, neck. Solo Sikoa gave him a running hip attack. Shout out Tony Storm. They handcuff Owens' hands to the top rope. The Usos repeatedly super kick him. I mean, this is fucking good shit. Reigns grabs a chair, went to hit a helpless and already dead Owens, but Zayn steps in his way. Zayn told Reigns he was already the champion. It didn't need to go that far. Reigns instead offered the chair to Zayn. Reigns was screaming at him to hit him. He said he loved Zayn and he was in their family, but if he didn't want to do it, he should go and do jackass shit. Dude, he was speaking some truth in there. He got in Zayn's face, told him to do it, and Zayn finally did it. He strikes Roman in the back with the chair. The pop was insane.
Was fucking interesting, as he didn't look at the whole group. He looked right at Jay and he said, "I'm sorry."
Oh, what a good little touch, because Jay and Sammy, they finally came around to each other, and Jay, you know, didn't believe him. And now the crowd, Jimmy super kicks Zayn. Solo and Jimmy just beating the living shit out of Sammy. The crowd chanted for Jay, who just watched. The bloodline encouraged him to jump in, but instead Jay walks off. The crowd cheered for Jay, who walked down the aisle, obviously just like super torn up about his decision. And Reigns then goes beating Zayn with a chair. Good fucking chair shots too. And there is a loud "fuck you, Roman" chant. Oh man, it was
louder than they were when they were saying "fuck you, Roman" when they didn't like him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was.
And this wild. Was. This post match angle was seriously fucking 10 out of 10. They knocked it out of the park. And we, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they're destined for, like, they're doomed to dance for destiny. I you know what I'm talking about? I can't think of the saying, but it's just the way it is, man.
Each other.
They've already had their WrestleMania singles match. It doesn't matter. They're going to it again. They're going to do it as a tag. These guys are going to dance together forever.
They can't escape the history they have.
You know, I mean, good on them.
All the way back to Ring of Honor. I mean, that's the thing. Like, when Ring of Honor gets a streaming service, and it's going to in the next, like, year or two, I think, you know, like, maybe even sooner than that, you know? One of the things me and you are probably going to have to go back and watch are the old Kevin Steen, El Generico matches, because there's nowhere to watch that right now, you know? Because it's something that's like a it's a history that I've only seen like one match. It's like I've seen the crazy ladder match they have where like it's all the ladders, you know, that one spot that everybody does now where they put the ladders between the ladders, like,
oh yeah,
where that spot came from, you know.
And it was just something fucking crazy. But man, this was a much better feeling than I felt last year watching the Rumble with Brock Lesnar winning and we go off air.
I remember we were watching it. And we were actually like vibing with the match a little bit. And we were like, I wonder who's going to be at number 30. And I think we thought maybe that's when we first thought Cody was going to show up or something like that. Yeah.
There was a chance because Beach Break had already happened.
So we thought maybe Cody was going to show up and then Brock wins. LOL literally happened. And we've made that joke for years and then he actually did it. I know we were both going to watch the main event that night and we just turned the show off.
Yeah, and that was really that was something, man. But man, you want to talk about making people feeling good going home? Good stuff. It felt like a spectacle. I think they accomplished what they wanted to in that Alamo Dome. It really felt that was a fun set too. I'm going to touch on that, but yeah, all in all, I think there was a lot of the shit that I could do without, but I thought a lot of the endings of stuff I really liked. Like, I like the ending of the men's Rumble. I like the ending of the women's Rumble when it was Rhea, Asuka, and Liv. And then, obviously, the go-home angle here. This was really, it was fun. You know, so, that being said, we'll probably cover another show, WrestleMania. But any other going-home thoughts that you kind of felt with, I guess, just all in all with our winners, Cody, Rhea, and the post angle.
Yeah, winners were good. Obviously, those will be a couple really good matches no matter who they're facing at Mania. Obviously, Cody's probably going to face Roman. I don't know who Rhea's going to face. I have no idea. That could be a multitude of things could happen with Rhea. But
current champion Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm saying like either of those matches would be fine. So, I mean, it depends on what Rhea wants to do more probably. Let's be realistic. You know what I mean? Like, the thing I think I was the most surprised by, like, I've been hearing for months that like this stuff with Sammy and the Bloodline is like actually the best thing in wrestling right now. And I was like, yeah, there's no way. There's no actual way. And I don't think it's the best thing, but it's pretty up there. I mean, it's like, this was like the best storytelling they had the entire show was in that last segment, you know?
And you could just feel the chemistry they all had together.
Like, you can tell they've all been working on this for so long at the build to this moment. I'm really interested to see where Jay goes from here because, I mean, they've been building up Jay walking away from this since before it was the Bloodline. Like, you know, like, I mean, so
yeah,
there's so much they can do there. They could run Jay versus Roman again. They could do all kinds of things. Like, I'm really curious to see where that goes more than anything. If anything, I might tune in a little bit more. I mean, obviously now that Cody's back, I might, you know, have to see what matches he's having.
But yes. I do want to see Cody more, man. I mean,
that would have been
Cody.
The only reason I watched any Raw or SmackDown would have been if he had a match on them. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, but it's just been, he's been hurt. He wrestled with that torn pec. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And now he's back. I mean, he might be fucking wrestling Monday. Who knows? But it is nice to see Cody Rhodes back. I'm glad he won this. I'm glad he's accomplishing everything he wanted to. Next up, Cody and fucking Roman, and that is going to be a big match.
All right, do you think it'll be the best match of Roman's career?
I really hope so. Because when I think of Roman matches, there's not that
one. They're all pretty much the same, right? Not that that's a bad thing. There's not one match that I would put over another. Like, if you have a match with Roman, if your stuff is good enough and you have enough of a diverse moveset and Roman can work with it, then it's going to be a good match. But I don't ever feel – and maybe that's part of why people didn't want Roman as top guy for so long is because they just don't feel anything from his matches like that. But, like, I don't know. I think now that he's unlocked, like, the dark Roman Reigns character for the last couple of years, I think that's not really a thing anymore. You know, I think as long as he's –
yeah, he puts out good enough matches that everyone's
into it. And it just depends on who you put him against. Like, if you put him against – Elias, I mean, it'll be a fine match, but it's not going to be like a, you know, like, I think if you wanted Roman Reigns to have your 5-star bangers, like, you're probably gonna have to put him against somebody like Danielson or Kenny. Or
I mean, shit, one of my favorite Roman matches is probably him and
McIntyre. They said his match with Danielson on Danielson's way out of WWE was good, but I never saw it. And so
yeah, it was the triple threat, so Danielson, Edge, and Roman Reigns.
So
that,
I mean,
was,
you know,
a really
it's
good one.
He's always a good component of matches. I think it's just they got to find the right opponents. Like I said, you know, it's not always going to be
Yeah, and Cody has got to be a perfect opponent.
Yeah, Cody especially since having gone off and – yeah.
And the guy will set himself on fucking fire and still lose the match.
I still can't believe that he did that. I mean, we just hit the one-year anniversary of when he hit that ridiculous Cody cutter off of the ladders in the ladder match in his last match in AEW.
Which probably means we'll have Bash the Beach coming up soon. But yeah, guys, that'll be it for us. We hope you enjoyed this ESE mini of the Royal Rumble. Our next one of these will most likely be Battle in the Valley, unless it's the Four Pillars, which we haven't figured out our day for doing that. So that's why I'm not sure which it'll be. But yeah, we'll be back again. You're catching this in your feeds on Sunday and you're like, oh shit, when's E-Sleepily popping up? Well, it'll be up later. So enjoy that. And yeah, thanks for checking us out. We appreciate it. And yeah, anything else you want to say, Garrett, before we send this on?